Morning to you all. It's good to see all your faces here today. My wife is in Alabama this weekend and some of the week, so she's not with us today, but we are here today. So, boy, there's a lot going on in the world today, isn't it? You're afraid, you don't know who to believe, what to believe, where to look, where not to look. How many of y'all know that when you preach or you teach and you read God's Word, you need to go from Genesis to Revelation? That even books like Limitations might be a little difficult, or some books might be difficult, but you still need to read and study those as well. Amen? Well, we're going to be in one of those today. We're going to be in Ezekiel. Now, we usually would turn to Ezekiel. We'll be talking about the Valley of Dry Bones or the Watchman on the Wall, the Tower, but we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 2. I want you to try to just pray as you listen this morning, as you read, and I do challenge you to read all of chapter 1. I'm not going to be able to cover all that. There's just no way, but we need to poke on what we need to this morning. But I want you to think about it, because we're living in some pretty unsettling times. I want to share with you that right now, I mean, there's the world that we live in. And then there's heaven and there's God, and I want to remind you that God is still in control. And this is His world, and I also want to remind you that sometimes messages can be very positive and very encouraging, and we want to do that, but sometimes messages need to be what they are. Today that is one of those. We see, you know, I like the song Reckless Love. I like that song, and there is a love of God. We're going to talk. This is displayed in it today, but it's not going to look like it looks like it. But it is there, because you're going to see it toward the end. But I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot going on in this time. God's people were a mess. They weren't even worshiping God. They're kind of like some of us. Took advantage of COVID and just laid out to a point where, not that we didn't come to church, but we weren't even reading God's Word. We weren't even praying. We got caught up in all the political stuff. We left God behind and said, we'll get to Him when we want. And the fact is, it just didn't start during the COVID time. It was before that for many. We were relying on testimonies that were 20 and 30 years old. We were relying on a salvation that was when I was 15 or 16. I had nothing else after that. Or very little. A communication, we begin to speak like the world and talk like the world and look like the world. We're come to a point that God couldn't even see the difference of who was His and who wasn't. It's kind of the world we're living in today. Anything and everything will come in front of God. Anything and everything will come in front of our reading of the Word. Anything and everything will come in front of our prayer life, and definitely will come in front of our worship. And let me just say a point. Worship is not an option before God. If you don't know how to worship here, you will learn how to worship in heaven. Because that's what we're going to do. And there's only one person we're going to worship, and that's going to be God. And there's going to be all these other little things that get us distracted in the world here today. But let me tell you, God deserves 100% of our participation and attention. And if you got these little objects against the church, or you got these little things, because the big thing today is, I don't need to go to church. I have a relationship with God. Let me tell you something. Jesus was in the synagogue every time. God's people were a mess. And we're a mess today. Now, we're going to look at some things that we're going to point at, but I want to share with you, before it's even brought here, it's all conversation is already going on up there. I want to pick it up in the middle. So, kind of what's happening is Ezekiel is this guy that God is going to work with. They're already in exile. They're in the land of the Chaldeans. Ezekiel's walking around in that land right now. He is a priest. They're already being pulled out. Some things are just falling apart. But Scripture says that the Lord's hand was on him. God's not done even when things are starting to fall apart. Let's remember that. God's not done when things are starting to fall apart. I don't know what America's going to look like in a year, 2 years from now. And don't you dare say it's a president's fault or a senator's fault. I'm telling you, it's God's people. It's God's people. And this is where we're going to go. Conversation is going to begin. It's going to begin between God and Ezekiel in the vision. Now, visions, some of us have had those. Probably maybe a handful, maybe two or three here in the church has had one. Maybe a few more, I don't know. But a vision is when you don't know where you know where you're at the beginning, but you really don't know what's going on. You know what's going on, but you're not. You can't tell if it's the physical. You can't tell if it's a dream state. It's just a vision. You see things, and this is what's happening with. This is what you're there, but you're not. But in the spirit, you're not there. You're somewhere else, and you see things. It's an amazing thing, if God ever gives you one. And one thing is, you will never forget it. It'll imprint on you. And you will never forget it. Ezekiel has one of those right now, and he's beginning to see wheels. I'm not going to get all up into the wheels, but one wheels, can't even describe it. It's awesomely described. He's flapping saffron angel, whatever we want to call them. Scripture calls them different things, but they have the appearance of lion on one side of the head and the human face. And it's just an amazing piece. But what I want to pick up is verse 26, kind of looking where it's at in chapter 1. The shape of a throne with the appearance of saffron stone was above the expanse. There was a form with the appearance of a human on the throne high above. And from what seemed to be his waist up, I saw a gleam like amber with what looked like fire enclosing it all around. From what seemed to be his waist down, I also saw what looked like fire. There was a brilliant light all around him. The appearance of the brilliant light all around was like that of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. That was the appearance of the form of the Lord's glory. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard a voice speaking. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you." As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I listened to the one who was speaking to me. Father, as we open up into this scripture, we see a very, very short, beautiful display of heaven, your throne, and your glory. May this message pierce our hearts and change us to be more like you. So give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have for us today. In Christ's name, amen. So what we see right out the gate is there's something going on. The whole world's going around and still turning on the axis. Everything that God created, people are doing their things, but there's conversation. God is calling a man named Ezekiel to do. He's going to call him out to give him something. I do want to share something with you. The Bible says in Philippians that every person, every man, every human being will kneel before the name of Jesus Christ. Romans 14:4 says this, "Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." I believe it or not, we will all fall before God. And every knee will bow. Because he is God. You see it in Isaiah's calling. He fell on his face. You see it in John and Revelation. They fall on their face. They can't help it in the presence of God's glory, the presence of God. They cannot help it. But God is able to make them stand. Every man will fall before God. But God is the one that makes the man stand. So he's able to stand. Why? Because the Spirit entered into him. That's what it says. The Spirit entered him and he was able to stand. That's the power of God. Don't even say anything. You need to get it in your thick head just like I do. And this is God's world. I breathe his air. I walk on his world. I'm a human being. I am a created being. And he is in charge. You either accept that with joy, or you will fight that for the rest of your life. And you'll be in remorse eternally. Because this is nothing to play with. Now God is getting ready to speak. And when God says something, we as human beings, we need to pay attention. And he's getting ready to speak to Ezekiel, and he's going to tell Ezekiel. He says, he said to me, in verse 3, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to the rebellious pagans. Now I want to tell you something. If God calls us a name, it's right. You can't fight it. God calls you a pagan. God calls the Israelites a pagan. That means they live in the world. They're just sinful. They're just a mess. They're living rebellious against God. If he says it, it's what it is. It's going to seem like God is hard, but I want to remind you that God relents. God pulls back, holds back as long as he can, as long as he wants. But there is a time when people cross the line, and God still loves. But God will discipline, and he will make judgment. He says, I'm sending you to the Israelites, to the rebellious pagans who have rebelled against me. The Israelites and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this day. The children are abstinent and are hard-hearted. I am sending you to them, and you must say to them, this is what the Lord says. Whether they listen or refuse to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. So what the Lord is saying here is they may not even listen to you. But whether they listen or they don't listen, they're going to know that a prophet's been here, that God has used, that God is in the midst. But he says, I have children that they are abstinent. They are unwilling to change. They're hard-hearted. They're just going to do their own thing. They don't care. They're going to do their own thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people doing that. There's a lot of people doing that right now. And I want to tell you, God sees it. Now, I want to be careful that we're not judging our brothers and sisters. And we need to be very, very careful of that. But God has given Ezekiel a mission. Ezekiel is stunned. He's taking this all in. He says, but you, son of man, now he begins to direct his message toward him. For you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or of their words. Because when you speak, when you want to speak things of righteous living, and you want to speak things of God's word and things out of those things, I want to tell you, people are going to speak things back. Right now, it's us against them and them against us, and you hate, and everybody hates because they don't agree. Well, these people are not going to agree with anything Ezekiel says. You can read it in the book of Malachi, too. People don't want to listen. People don't like to make changes. People don't like to make adjustments because we like our sin. That's the key. That's really what it is. But he says, don't be afraid of them or their words, because it's good. It's almost like he is the minority, but he's not the minority because he has God. He has everything and he needs to do it. But in the flesh, it looks like he is the minority. He is the minority. He's the only one that's going to speak this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them or their words, he says at this time. Though briars and thorns are beside you and you live among scorpions. So those briars and thorns are those things of life, that atmosphere that is evil and dark and sinful. You got to live in that. That's what we have to. We have to live in that here today. We're living in that. We need to be afraid not to fall into them lifestyles. But God's not taking all those briars and thorns away. But he also says you're going to live among scorpions. Not only people don't even act right. This is the evil people. But also the Chaldeans are there. These people, they're all up into witchcraft, sorcery, and they worship, and they're just very dark people. You can go back and look in Daniel. Very, very dark people. Very, very evil type of people. He's going to live among them. So his message and deliverance is going to be tough. Can I just tell you, when you go into ministry, it's not easy. This is why so many people quit. They start something and they quit. They start something and they quit. Sometimes we need to move on to whatever God has next. It doesn't mean because if you just start something, you quit. You can start something and then God moves you on. But if you start something and you quit on your own, that's not good. But he says, don't be afraid again of their words or be discouraged by the look on their faces, for they are a rebellious house. What he's saying is, you're going to speak to some people, you're going to speak to people that don't want to listen. That's a hard crowd to talk to. He's going to move through the people and they're not going to listen. They don't want to listen. But he says, but speak my words to them, whether they listen or refuse to listen, for they are rebellious. We keep hearing this word rebellious. Scripture says rebellion is that the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is not, should not be in your personality. We need to be careful. And it just feels like so many are rebelling against God today. But he says, and you, son of man, listen to what I tell you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. So there's the challenge for him not to be rebellious. Because when you rub up against people long enough in a group, you can end up tending to be like them. You're either going to follow or you're going to be a leader. And sometimes the truth and the testing of a leader is when you're leading and you don't have as many followers maybe as you did, or you don't have as many people don't want to follow, but that doesn't mean you're a bad leader. That doesn't mean that you're a bad leader. Sometimes good leaders, you take high school, you got a kid that wants to do well, and he or she's trying to live out the life for Christ and gets ridiculed and all those things and trying to lead a few people in that same direction. That's a great leader. But in the world, that person's not a very good leader because nobody's following. It's just because people are rebellious. And God's people in this time, they are really in a big, big mess. And it goes on and it tells us that God just kind of gave him to him in a scroll type and he devoured it. And Ezekiel said it tastes sweet as honey. But I want you to turn over to chapter 5. So we know that God's people are in a mess. Now we're going to describe what's going to happen. We're going to describe what's happening and what it looks like. Chapter 12, a third of your people will die by plague and be consumed by famine within you. A third will fall by the sword all around you, and I will scatter a third to every direction of the wind, and I will draw a sword to chase after them. When my anger is spent and I have vented my wrath on them, I will be appeased. Then after that, I have spent my wrath on them. Then they will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken in my jealousy. And then some people will say, how dare God do that? If God is all loving, how dare God do something like that? Let me remind you, this is his world. People, God is not rebellious. People are. People. I've heard it so many times. If God loves people, why doesn't he cure all these diseases? Why does he allow these children in this country or this continent to be killed and martyred? Why does he allow these people to the storms to come up and these earthquakes and these tsunamis and all these storms to kill all these beautiful people? Listen, we live in a broken world, and that world was not caused by God. That world was caused by man. Man. It's because we sin. We sin. And we need to work through that. And the only way we can work through that is do it the way God wants. But God's going to reveal a little bit of his heart here in a moment. He says in verse 37, I will send famine and death and disastrous animals against you. They will leave you childless, Jerusalem. Plague and bloodshed will sweep through you, and I will bring a sword against you. I, Yahweh, have spoken. God is talking to his people right now. Oh, he's going to deal with the Babylonians and them later. But God's allowing things to happen because God's got to get his children's attention. And sometimes the only way to get a children's attention is through discipline. And sometimes it has to be hard discipline. Oh, I need to be very careful how I say something. But today's society, you don't dare do this. You can't do that. You can't whip your children. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. Because this is what the world is displaying, everything against the way. I'm not saying one way is right or not. You have to figure that out as a parent. But I want to tell you, I know this. God's discipline is hard sometimes. And it's painful. But it's needed. Now we go down to chapter 6. Yet I will leave a remnant. Now this is God's mercy and love showing through this time when people say, God is not, why is God so vengeful? Why is he so angry? Why is he so violent? Like I said, this is God's world. It isn't that he is, it's that we are. Yet I will leave a remnant. When you are scattered among the nations, for though out of the countries, there will be some of you who will escape the sword. So there's going to be some that's going to escape. There's going to be some that God's going to allow not to go through that. Then your survivors will remember me. It's all about bringing people back to God. I'm bringing them back among the nations where they were taken captive. How I was, here he goes. How I was crushed by their God says, how I was crushed. Promiscuous heart. God says, I was crushed. We don't think about what's going on with God at the time, but he says, how I was crushed by their promiscuous hearts that they turned away from me, and by their eyes they lusted after their idols. God's heart is broken and crushed because people have turned away. His own people have turned away from him. His own people have turned away from him. He says in verse 10, he says this, they will loathe themselves because of the evil things they did, their detestable practices of every kind, and they will know that I am the Lord. I did not threaten to bring this disaster on them, here it is, without a reason. There's a difference between an excuse and a reason, and God says here, it was without a reason. There's a reason I'm doing this. There is a reason I'm doing this. Now, not every bad thing that's going on in your life is God chastising and disciplining you. But I want to share with you, there's some things even going on so I see a couple of things here. I see, as I read through this, I see what's going on at this time, and it's very heartbreaking. People who knew of God chose to walk away from God, but yet expected to keep his blessings and receive those blessings. Yet I also see the man Ezekiel. And there's a situation that's going to happen with his wife here in a few chapters. But Ezekiel is given the opportunity just to, in a vision, to, he's being presented in front of the throne of God. So this vision to bring it. Now, some visions can be awesome that people have, and it's a good stuff. Sometimes there are things that are not so good. And he has to deliver a message that is difficult. And I want to tell you, I'm sure there are moments here when these people began to say that if it was for those Babylonian people, if it wasn't for King Nebuchadnezzar coming in and taking us out, we wouldn't have all these problems. You see, you're going to have people that's going to focus on that, just like today. We're focusing on that today. If it wasn't for so-and-so getting in, if it wasn't for this person in, we would be okay. No, we wouldn't. And we really wasn't even okay before that. Or before that. Because the church is struggling to be the church. We don't preach prosperity messages. Although there is some prosperity in Scripture, but we don't preach that every week. We are not going to do that. We are not going to preach psychology. We are not going to preach that everything about you is going to be good. You have to fight in this life. You have to fight, but you need to fight it in God's way. You need to roll with the punches. Whether they hit you or not, you still need to learn how to praise God with them. You need to know how to work through it. Some of you are going to learn in the near future what it is to learn how to worship God through pain and suffering. Some of you are going to have to remember not to forget God on those things when they happen good for you. Ezekiel is going to stay on task with these prophetic pieces and the messages he's going to prophesy and preach on. And then his role was to do what God's called him to do. Now I will tell you here, this church was given a vision back in 2000, I think it's six. I always said five, but it's six. To do the things that we were called to do. Be this church in the inner city of Huntington. Work with brokenness. Do the children. Do the feeding and the sheltering and helping men, women, children, and feeding. I'm going to keep saying it because it's still the vision of what we do. And we've lost people because they didn't want it. But I want to tell you, most of those people we've lost don't even go to church today. And we got to keep doing what God has called us to do. I want to tell you why we're where we are today. One, God did give a vision. And I got that vision in the hotel room. And I understand what it means to be in something you just can't. I only had two of these visions in my whole, three of them in my whole life. I don't know how to explain it. But I saw these things we were supposed to do. Not could either buried it or brought it back. And bringing it back was very, very scary to bring it back to a church, because some people just think you're crazy. But this church embraced it. And how did this church embrace it? One, God moved upon the people to allow them to embrace that. And so we embraced it. We began to move forward. And the first thing we did start getting some pushback. And as we got pushback, we had to keep going forward. Now we advance ourselves up to where we are today. We're still pushing forward. If you are seeing the things that are happening between now and the past, you'll see that God has moved in many, many, many ways. You don't buy houses for $50. You don't buy houses or just like the soup kitchen for $32.5. When we walked in there and we walked out, that's exactly what we had. You don't do those things. God does those things. And God is blessing us. God is keeping us above. I'm seeing churches that are falling apart. But he's keeping us because I believe that because we're still on vision and on task. Let me just tell you, let me take a side note. God is not impressed by the size of a church. He's not impressed by the great keyboard players, even though I want one. He is not impressed by the greatest musicians in the church. Because nobody can go against his band in heaven. Ain't nobody going to sing better than in angelical voices. So let's get it out of the way. Whether you like Hillsong, Elevate, whatever it is, you like it. Ain't got nothing on that band in heaven. And we're going to be singing with that band in heaven. So it isn't about that. God's not impressed by that. God's not impressed by big time preachers. God's not impressed by big-time teachers. And if you got a doctor's degree or a master's and all that, he's not impressed by any of that. Because the one sitting on the throne is the greatest preacher ever. That's Jesus. God's not impressed by anything on this earth. But what he is looking for is the heart of a person. That it be fully devoted to God. That they would fully devote their life to God. That they would fully devote whatever they have in themselves, whatever they own, whatever it is, that they devote it to God. And live their life that is pleasing to God. That's what God is looking for. Looking for when you sin, that you have a repentive heart, that you'll turn away and you'll work it out with the Lord. I'm telling you, the games of being a Christian needs to be done. It isn't about my name is on the church roll. It isn't that I did. You got to be right with Christ first. And second of all, you need to be living right. And you need to be fulfilling what God's called to do. I'm telling you, this stuff, you don't think this stuff still happens? And God doesn't come in and take out churches? Yeah. You don't think God doesn't come in and take out things? Yes, He does. He does that. What's it say down there? His heart was, how I was crushed. We break God's heart how we live when we live against Him. But we put joy when we live right. Ezekiel is one of the hardest books to understand in the Old Testament. But when you break it down, it still reads just like the rest of it. Man is broken. Man walks away from God. God loves. Listen to me now. God's mercy. And then we got God's people going, shut them down. Take them out. Take them down. Put them down in the hole. They need to learn their lesson. But God's mercy goes past that. Thank God you're not in charge. And thank God I'm not in charge. He'll go a little bit further. He'll go further. And then there's a point that only God knows and goes, it's time for you to get a whooping. It's time for you to reap a little bit of what you sowed. It's time for you to feel my judgment. It's time for you to feel a little bit of my vengeance. I don't want to be there. Some of you know what it's like to feel that a little bit. I know I do. Listen, I want to tell you that God wants us to have all the good things. He wants us to be this. He wants us to be the light of the world, all those things. But sometimes it just feels like the light is the light bulb is getting ready to go out. But I will remind you, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So if it ain't going good for this church, I'm telling you, He's got a church going good somewhere. But I want to tell you, you got to get your life right. Because when He comes to you, you better make sure you got it right. Because you will fall on your knees. Either praising God, thanking Him, Lord, thank you. Or you'll be saying, Lord, oh, forgive me. And we need to work on that. We need to work on that in our life. I don't believe that Ezekiel will ever, ever forget that vision that he had. Some days I can get up and think, oh, I'm going to make the judgment. I'm thinking about, oh, what's going on here? Always going back to 2006. This is what I've learned. If you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know what to do, now I do this in different ways. Sometimes you're not sure what to do about something. Whether it's in your life or it's in your job or it's your Christian work, whatever. When you don't know what to do, you need to stop. And you need to go to back. What was the last thing that Jesus told me? Go back there. And you'll find your answer. Am I really supposed to be doing this? I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be doing this. I don't know if I should be serving here. Wait a minute. Go back to where it was. Oh, I felt God was leading me into this. Oh, maybe I'm just going through a hard time. You'll find yourself, God will use that, taking you back to where you were, and so you go in and you keep doing it. Listen, he said you were going to be with the briars and the thorns and the scorpions. It's not going to be easy. What is our call here? What is it that God's called us to do? He's called us to do those things, but be at crossroads right here on the crossroads of hurt, brokenness, pain, and suffering. Oh, yeah, hope. But all those other things, there's that other hope. And we stand right there. Now we move on here. We got to figure out how they're going to hear it. How's our community? We need to get our community. This place should be full. Feels very optimistic. This place needs to be full. This needs to be a large church. It does. I stopped in the Walmart this morning in Columbia City, and Walmart was filling up. I drove down. I saw people just moving all over. All the places were starting to get people in them. Looking in church parking lots, there were a few cars. I can drive down First Street every Sunday. I look down the side streets, and I go, every spot is taken on the street. The most time you're going to see car, you're going to see it. Because people, they're not interested. They feel like they're not interested in God. But they've got all these problems going on. They're going to try everything and everything else to try to fix it. We just have to be patient. We got to be willing, but we got to be there and let that light shine when that opportunity happens. Because we think about it. If this neighborhood does not have us, you take us out, what happens? It'll get worse. It will get worse. It'll get worse. There's a leader in the community that told me once and said, hey, you guys being over there, actually it was one of our mayors in the past, you guys don't move where you are. Because that's what people do. The churches do. They get in inner cities and they get more people and they want to move and they want to go to the suburbs. Don't move, because there, without you guys, we're not able to, you are helping our community by being there. Instead, if it wasn't for you, you're that church and another church over in that area, that is the hope of that community. I don't think we realize what God has called us to be here. Not just in our ministries, but in this community. We are called to be there. And we live among the briars, and we're living among the thorns and the scorpions, but we're still called to share the gospel. And we're trying to figure out strategic ways to get people out of their houses. Because people right now, if anything, they have barreled down and knotted up and locked up their doors. And when it's time to go home, they're in and they ain't going out. Most people are coming homebodies. And we got to figure out how to get them out so we can begin to share that gospel with them. Because listen, I'm telling you, when the time comes, whether they are going to die or Christ is coming back, one or the other, there's only so much time that a person has. There's only so much time that a person has. And the true part of it is, Jesus is the only way for all. I don't know if you see it, but I see a lost and dying world. But I also see, on the other hand, the glorious of God and His salvation. And how beautiful it is and how so many people are doing that. And then I also see the Christians that are falling away. I see the lost. I see the Christians who have fallen away, and then I see the Christians who are living and being the light for Jesus. We got to be careful not to judge everybody, but we got to get out in the mix and we got to start shaking it up. God has called this church to be like an Ezekiel with a message of hope, but there is a part here that is very, very hard and difficult. I can't believe, I hope you don't believe that the life for you as a Christian is just to receive Christ and do nothing. And I'm not talking, everybody's not going to be the one to be that great evangelist or do all the work in the church. I'm not talking about that, but you can be a light where you are. You can share what God has done with you by the way you live. You can show Jesus by not opening your mouth. And then when you open your mouth, you got good things to say. You see, it's easy to jump on the political bandwagon and to blame them. But from the get-go, I've said, I have to work on praying for certain people, but I do. But I'm going to remind you, if you hate them, whoever, whatever, you're playing right in the hands of the dark side. It is the Christians who are messing things up. Because we are not being the church the way God wants us to be. I don't understand it. It baffles me to see people. And then what we want to do is we want to say, well, then they weren't saved anyway. Well, here we go. We start judging. So we have to calm ourselves down, because if you're going to be hard on people, let me tell you, the Bible says as hard as you are on others, you better look out. And God doesn't just see your Monday through Friday. He sees your Saturday nights, and he sees every minute of your, every second of your day. One day, the Israelites were living, and things were great. But there was a conversation in heaven. And the enemy was coming. And that old king said, we can take them. Isaiah, the prophet, says, no, you can't. Don't you ever say anything good. Put him away. Didn't like it because the preacher didn't say anything good. Now they got another one, Ezekiel. People don't want to hear it. But God says, tell them anyway. Whether they listen or whether they don't. I'm telling you, you got one life to live. You don't get any redos. You lived in your 30s, your 20s are done. You live your 40s, your 30s are done. You're in 50s like me, you lived a whole bunch of years are done. But you got one shot to be a light for God. One shot. You better make it count. I'd rather be on God's blessed side than on the disciplined side any day of the week. I want to tell you, I believe God's hand is upon this church. We are not perfect. We have a lot of things we're working through, but I believe God's hand is on this church. I believe God's hand is on a lot of people in this church. I believe God is using this church, but I want to tell you, we start turning God off and we start taking God out of things, I'm telling you, it'll fall apart faster than you've ever seen anything. You can work for 20 years hard and blow it in one day. Don't want to scare you like, okay, I sinned and everything's going to fall apart. No. God will work with sin. It's a person's. Repentive. But when you walk away from God and you say, I don't need to go to church. I don't really want to read his word anymore. I'm going to go in this lifestyle. Or I just, that slow fade, whatever it may be, I'm telling you, you better beware. God disciplines those whom he loves, and that is not a light verses. That's a promise. That's a promise. But I do want to remind you, don't be afraid of God in the sense of just being fearful, but do be have that holy fear. Father, we know that you are God. We know that sometimes messages like these are a little different than what we do normally. But we do need to hear a harder side from time to time. Father, whatever it is in our hearts that your Spirit speaks to us through individually, may we adhere to it. And there are things that only you can say to an individual. And for somehow we know when you say it, we know it's you. I pray, Father, you would reveal whatever you need to each person here today. That they may get their life right, make that adjustment, whatever it may be. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.